In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In a tradition going back at least to the 8th century Carolingian church, selections from the Book of Lamentations were read as part of the liturgy of Holy Week. In particular, the text that we just heard from Lamentations 3 was read on Holy Saturday. The readings from Lamentations were given during the night office of Tenebrae. And during the service, candles in the churches were slowly and gradually snuffed out until, by the end of the service, the church lay in total darkness, except for one single candle that remained. The darkness was a sign of the death and burial of Christ. For when he was dead and laid in the grave, the light of the world had departed his creation. If ever in the history of human beings there was a time for lamentation, it was in the days between the death of Christ and his resurrection. But there had been other times of lamentation. Of course, in the Old Testament, there's an entire book of Lamentations. In a series of laments, the prophet Jeremiah announces that in his wrath, God has turned against the kingdom of Judah, against the city of Jerusalem in particular. And the people are crying out to the Lord in verbalized sufferings. In the verses preceding our text, Jeremiah describes in lurid detail the afflictions and humiliations endured by God's people in the destruction of Jerusalem at the hands of the Babylonians. And the people give voice to their suffering. In anguish, the people voice their laments to God himself. They cry out to God himself because he is the one who has afflicted them. Jerusalem had sinned grievously against the Lord, becoming a filthy thing even among its neighbors. The people had rebelled against God's word, and in his righteous response, he had given them over to suffering and captivity. He punished them, but he did not forsake them. And God's people also raise their laments to God himself because he is the only one who can take away their suffering. A yoke, a symbol of submission, and a metaphor for captivity. A yoke may be placed upon a person, a burden hard to bear. It is good, Jeremiah says, for a young person to endure trials, to bear burdens, even while they may be difficult, because it helps them prepare for future sufferings. Such anguish is temporal. But as Jeremiah proclaims, God's steadfast love, his compassion, and his faithfulness are eternal. So amid lamentations, there is hope. The reason for hope is found in the proclamation about what kind of God the people have and how he deals with them. God himself is the reason for hope. He is the object of our hope. God is faithful. He is merciful. Hope in him never ends. God is good, and the suffering he sends is good for his people. God is just, and the suffering he gives is not unjust. And even though God rejects his people for a time, he will not reject them forever. Sending affliction and punishment are God's alien work in which he finds no delight. As Jeremiah says, God does not afflict from the heart, nor grieve the sons of men. The sending of affliction, especially in anger at sin, reveals the wrathfulness of God's nature. But it is not that wrath that determines God's purposes. Having mercy is God's purpose. He is the one who acts with steadfast love and compassion and faithfulness. That is his purpose. And for this purpose, he sent his own son, Jesus Christ. For this purpose, Christ bore the yoke that had been woven together out of our sins. And God himself laid it upon Jesus. Jesus put into his own mouth the dust of the earth in his humility. He gave his cheek to be struck. He was scorned and he was insulted, and shame was heaped upon him. And darkness fell over the face of the whole earth. The light of the world was dying. To his Father, Christ raised his own lament. My God, why have you forsaken me? God forsook his own Son that we might be accepted as his own people. But yet God did not reject him forever. God's wrath at sin is ended with Jesus' dying words on the cross, "It is finished." Is there any greater demonstration of God's loving kindness for us than in his own Son speaking these words? And is there any more joyous exclamation of God's faithfulness than "Christ is risen, alleluia"? The God who has done this for us, who sent his own Son to die and rise again for us, who won forgiveness and salvation and life for us, this God is the object, the foundation of our hope. Great is his faithfulness. Does God's loving kindness ever end? Are his tender mercies ever completed? His anger? His anger does end. It passes away. It is finished. God's steadfast love triumphs over bitterness, despair, and hopelessness. He will have mercy in accordance with the abundance of his faithfulness. His anger has a conclusion, but his compassion, his mercies, are never ending, new every day, and they are as certain as the rising of the morning sun. In Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. Our service continues with the order for responsive prayer, pages 282 and following in the hymnal. Please stand.